Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to Numbers chapter number 12 in the Word of God tonight. Numbers chapter number 12 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting with us tonight, we've been now in a series here, preaching through kind of an expository manner through this passage of Scripture over the last several Sunday nights. And tonight we're once again going to dive into this passage of Scripture. Now let me say this, as a pastor, as you find Numbers chapter 12, you always try to, you want to be right with God, you want to be ready to preach, and you don't want anything on your mind. And so even oftentimes pastors will study in their office and they'll come out and kind of head right into the service. And many pastors, this could be myself, so they won't have anything else on our mind. It really helps. You're ready to dive in the Word of God. You're listening to, you're in tune. And for some reason, that's when a lot of people, Pastor Boom, all right, as a lot of people want to, hey, Pastor, I know you're about to preach, but I just want to tell you, we're giving up on God and we're getting a divorce and I don't like our kids and your kids were running the hallway and, you know, I'm taking them to the hospital. It's like, you know, you're just in a panic trying to get everything. Okay, thank you very much. What was your name again? Anyways, so I do want to say this. There's something on my mind tonight, and I made a grave, grave mistake, and you're going to have to forgive me as your pastor, but my mother-in-law was here this morning, and I did not introduce her, and I'm telling you what. I knew something was wrong during the morning service. I thought, man, I'm forgetting something or something's wrong. I thought Satan was fighting. And no, God's saying, you forgot to introduce your mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law's here tonight. And I just want to say this. A lot of pastors preach and they make fun of, you hear the old joke about the mother-in-law. And I just be honest, I have a fantastic mother-in-law. See, Pastor, just saying that because she's here tonight. Yeah, you're right. But anyways, I absolutely get along so great with my mother-in-law, and I'm telling you, Cross Point, there was one person in the United States that was praying very, very, very hard that the shepherds would be here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and it was that lady right there. And we live 2 hours from them now. They are in their 29th year, I do believe, at Salina Baptist Temple there in Salina, Ohio, just over the border. And my father-in-law has been pastoring there for 29 years now, and I love their faithfulness. I love their zeal for the Lord. They raised an okay daughter. I had to do some fixing up, but it's totally a joke. Some of you are like really awkward right now. It's okay. I'm joking around. Good grief. Okay. I do love my mother-in-law, but if you have a chance, get by and meet Lanny Clayton this evening. And she is my favorite mother-in-law, I'm telling you. And it's good to have you here, Mom, tonight. Appreciate you being here. She was able to keep our kids. Isn't that amazing? Just so nice having family, but she was able to watch our kids as Carrie and I went to Ashland, Ohio on Friday and Saturday and was speaking there and then jetted back yesterday. And just so wonderful to have you here tonight. Good. Hey, I can preach now. Let's get into it. Numbers chapter number 12. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Numbers chapter number 12. Would you look with me at verse number 10? Verse number 10, the Bible says this. And the cloud departed from, off of the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. This evening, I want us to once again concentrate just kind of on this key statement here. And the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle. God has come down, and God is meeting with them. And God departs, and something tragic takes place. And tonight we're going to read several verses, but we're going to get in, and I just want to forewarn you, this is probably going to be a little bit different type of a message. If you're taking notes tonight, you're going to write down a lot of verses. We're going to read a lot of verses tonight, but I want us to be students of the Word of God, and I want us to rightly divide the Word of truth. And tonight we're going to take this message that we've been building a foundation on for the last 2 weeks. And we're going to kind of get down and to the bolts and nuts of it tonight. And once again, look at the subject, a key ingredient. A key ingredient. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. I just love Sunday nights. God, you showed yourself this morning. We felt you. And Lord, we just ask that you'd meet with us again tonight. Father, I prayed this morning that you'd take away distractions. And Father, I do believe you did. I'm thankful, Father, Lord, that at the end of the message today and after service, we could just talk about how good you are and what you've done and what you continue to do in our midst. Father, show yourself again tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd allow me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, as we look at this subject matter tonight, Father, we don't want confusion. You're not the author of confusion. Father, we want to walk out of here with a sound mind, understanding this very core doctrine in the Word of God. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, back up with me, and I'm not going to preach through this, but I do want us to read through. Look at verse number 1 here with me. The Bible says this in Numbers 12, verse number 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Remember, they're jealous here. They don't like it, what took place. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And I love the wording here, "and the Lord heard it." Remember now, we laid a foundation. God is listening. You and I do not get away with anything. Now, the man Moses was very meek, verse number 3, above all men that were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, from the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And we begin to talk over the last several weeks that it's not an option when God speaks in His Word that you and I are to abstain from what God wants us to abstain from, and that you and I are to listen where God puts emphasis in the Word of God for us living this Christian life. Verse number 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth." They're there, they're listening, they're tuned in. Verse number 6, "And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known in him unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." Verse number 7, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." This might have been a deep relief for them. Maybe they were thinking for a moment, "Well, okay, God's heard it, now we're nervous, but oh, okay, maybe we were right in verse number 2. But no, verse number 8 explains, "With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" God not only cleared Moses here, but he began to praise him. Moses had this spirit of prophecy that set him above all the other prophets. And now you and I must concentrate on letting Miriam and Aaron consider who they have just talked about. Consider who they have just insulted. And you and I begin to see this past week that if there was ever a day and age when you and I ought to be careful who we speak out against, who we insinuate things about, or gossip and or slander, may you and I understand as Christians, we have a tongue, and with that tongue, friend, you and I ought to be very careful. Why? Because I'm here to tell you today, there are many churches around the United States that are ruining testimonies, that are splitting churches, that are hurting pastors, that are seeing Sunday school teachers quit, that people are no longer want to even serve in the ministry. Why? It's not from outside of these walls. It's not from the outside world, the local church fighting. No, my friend, it is from the tongues of Christians that are hurting other Christians by not thinking through what they are saying about them. The Bible says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Therefore, you and I ought to be very careful and understand that there ought to be a spirit of kindness amongst us as Christians. Now, if that makes sense tonight, would you say amen? Now, we don't want to park there, so let me put it this way. We have to move forward. Verse number 9. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. The cloud departed from off of the tabernacle." It's gone. And what we see is something very tragic take place. A death sentence is given to Miriam. And Aaron looks at his sister and understands There's grave consequences. The Lord departed. What is so special about Cross Point Baptist Church, as we've been talking over the last several weeks, it started with revival. We said it over and over again. Was the key ingredient the speaker? There's no doubt that God used Brother Schrock in a great way, but we've heard him before. Was it the music? We've sang those songs before. There's definitely an element there. What was it? Was it the crowd that we had maybe on Easter Sunday? Was that it? Was that what was so reviving and rejuvenating? But isn't it amazing that since Easter, we've surpassed what we had on Easter Sunday at least twice now? What is the element that you and I are feeling in this place? The key element is that God is meeting with us. It is the very presence of God here. My friend, have you ever walked into a church service before, not naming churches, but have you ever been to a church before that is spiritually cold? May you and I always pray that God and His presence is in this place. Friend, the presence of God cannot be imitated. Today, the problem with many local churches is we're trying to fake it till we make it. Or we're trying to entertain. We're trying to bring a group in and we're trying to get bigger and more explosive. And we're trying to really take the job of what the Holy Spirit has in our life. My job here, friend, is not to bring conviction. My job is not to bring encouragement. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're the preacher. No, understand this. I am the mailman. I am delivering the Word of God. Therefore, when we say, and I don't get offended at all, but I'm just telling you, it's not the pastor that's stepping on toes. It's the Word of God that's piercing our hearts. It's not the preacher that, oh, well, boy, I'm just telling you, you ripped me to shreds today. No, it's the Holy Spirit that begins to talk and speak to you and I. Therefore, what is taking place here at Cross Point Baptist Church, I said it this past Wednesday, I'm just going to say it again, friend, it's not happening all over the place. It's not happening in our Baptist churches today. We're not seeing across the globe a great surge of Baptist churches that are growing and people getting saved. And I praise the Lord for Kayla walking the aisle last week and getting saved. And I praise the Lord for the baptisms that we have. Friend, look, I know sometimes it puts us a little bit over time, but may you and I never get mad or upset or tired at kids being in the baptism. Amen? May we always see that. What's taking place here, friend? I just have to put it this way. It is not you, it's not the offering, it's not the piano, it's not the music director, it's not the preacher. Let me put it this way. It is God. See him. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to meet with you and I. You can feel it. And I praise the Lord walking in this place and feeling the vibe, feeling the spirit, feeling the smiles, understanding that people are praying and people are wanting the Holy Spirit. They're wanting God to move in this place. Friend, the day and age, if we ever start walking in this place and we're just kind of meeting just to meet, or we're just kind of doing our religious duty, or oh, I guess we got to be in church. You know, the old saying, three to thrive, I guess. Okay, well, let's just check it off for religious duty. I'm just telling you, friend, if we ever come to that, we're no longer a local church. We're just another country club at 220 Country Club Drive. And friend, I'm not interested in a country club. I'm interested in a church meeting together and expressing our love and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. You see, one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the Word of God is the doctrine of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Either at times in 2021, he is either mystified as some kind of emotional influence, and or he is misunderstood as being unimportant in the life of the believer. Now listen very carefully. I am not going to be the pastor that stands up here and steps up on this platform and gives you what I think. To be honest with you, there is way too many preferences out there. I'm not interested in stepping up here and expressing how I feel. But I am very interested in sharing with you tonight what thus saith the Lord in the very word of God that is preserved for you and I in the culture, in the society, in the day and age we live. Friend, we don't have to have a final authority in religion or say so or what they used to do or what everybody else culturally is doing. Aren't you thankful that you and I have the very word of God to have a foundation on today? Amen? We have it. But in order to really speak truth, we must understand that we cannot believe the false teaching that the Holy Spirit is unimportant. Because the Holy Spirit is vitally important in the life of a believer. Nor can we believe the lies of what used to be a large group and has now kind of gotten smaller over the years, but the charismatic movement begin to teach the basis of all of its teaching on the Holy Spirit. Its basis was emotionalism and or irrational behavior. Friend, this is certainly not founded upon or have a biblical foundation anywhere found in the very Word of God for you and I living today. And there are many that will begin to teach on the Holy Spirit and run to verses in the Bible that you and I, dispensationally speaking, we have already come out of. We no longer live in a day and age of tongues, and especially the tongues of a charismatic movement that believe in this jibber jabber and nobody else around you knows what you're saying. Oh, but the Holy Spirit does. No, friend, let me just put it this way. You and I are not going to find that false teaching in the Word of God anywhere, nowhere. You say, what about these that really believe they're speaking and the Holy Spirit's hearing them? Well, to be honest with you, friend, I'm not making fun. I know maybe some of your family members, even my in another state, might be involved. But I'm just saying this. They're not getting it from the Word of God. Therefore, if they're listening to a spiritual leader that is leading them in a way where, if you remember, my mother nobody understands me, but the Holy Spirit understands me. I'm just telling you, friend, that doesn't come from the Bible. Therefore, he is or she is a false teacher. Stay away. I know nobody likes to hear that. Well, you know, they're good people. I understand. There's a lot of good people out there. But friend, I'm not interested in just basing my life based on good people. I want to know, what does the Bible say for me and my family? Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit, I mean, yeah, it's in there. I've just never really thought about the Holy Spirit. Well, we ought to think about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit that I know, it fills a believer and they roll around and they laugh a lot and they speak in this gibberish. And friend, I'm just, look, the pure where we see in the New Testament tongues being used, it was not used in the way that we see it being used today. And that period was a transitional period given to the apostles. And you and I are no longer in that period. We are past it. It's gone. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? It means this, it's done. You will never find your pastor speaking in tongues. Why? It's not biblical, period. Now, again, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but I am saying this. Tonight's going to be a different type of message because I want to know what does the Holy Spirit have to do with my life? And if it's so important as a key element here at Cross Point Baptist Church, then we ought to be very interested in the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think for a couple of moments. I'm just going to teach through this and try to get through it in a great time tonight. But I want you to buckle your seatbelt here for just a moment because I want you to first of all think about this, that the Holy Spirit in the Word of God has different names. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost can have or be called just that, the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14 and verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is, well, listen to the wording here, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. he is also called the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, watch now, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He's also called the Comforter, John chapter 14 and verse number 16. I will pray the Father, and he should give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's also called the Spirit of Truth, John chapter 14 and verse number 17. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. He's also called the Spirit of the Lord, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 9. Then Peter saith unto her, how is it they have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Understand that all of these names are given, but he is speaking about the same person of the triune God, even though he is called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of the Lord, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. These all are one. Just as I am called Thomas Shepherd, just as I am called pastor or preacher or I've never really been called a singer. I was going to say singer. X that one out. Husband, father, I am, watch now, the same person. Therefore, when we see in the Word of God, it's important to understand that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is called by different names, but they are one. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Now watch, the Word, which is Jesus the Son. We understand this from John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verse number 14. Listen very carefully. We're talking about the Word and Jesus being one. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father and full of grace. Now listen to this wording here. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, talking about Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The text clearly says, listen very carefully, that there are three in the triune. There are three. That means this. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Bible also uses a plural noun to speak of a singular God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. After, did you hear that? Our likeness. Us. Our. And let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the fowl of the air. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches that there is a triune God. He is one, check it out, but he is all three. How many gods are there in the world? One, capital G. There is one God. And yet, there are three. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. You say, how is that possible? That cannot be. Friend, but with God, all things are possible. That means that if there might be things in the Word of God that say, hey, I just don't understand it. We all go to the egg or we all go to ice and we all go to these different illustrations. Comprehend this. Whether we understand it or not, if we do not understand it, it does not mean that we are right and the Bible is wrong. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. What you and I have to comprehend tonight is this. We at Cross Point Baptist Church, we are not interested in anything else that is contrary to the very Word of God. We're just not interested in it. Well, I mean, but did you hear nowadays? I mean, Pastor, they're coming up this new thing. Great, good. Well, do you know what they used to do? Good, but where is the biblical foundation? That's what I'm always interested in. You start battling some of the false religions of today, and just say this to somebody that you're talking with. Just say this, okay, I understand that, but let's do this. Let's take out all other authors, and let's just stick with the Word of God. And friend, I'm telling you real quick, people cannot defend their positions. Why? Because when you bring the Word of God into it, oftentimes the Word of God is always going to trump what they have built, some self-made religion on a man or on a movement or on a facade of some sort. And when you and I just get back to the Word of God, friend, look, life becomes so much easier. We stick with the Word of God. So we see that the Holy Spirit has different names. We understand that He's part of a triune. There's one God, yet there are three parts. But the Holy Ghost lives within the saved. Now, we're a Sunday night crowd tonight. We're not usually, oftentimes, it's just the time that we can come and get down and kind of preach to. So I really believe that I'm probably preaching to, speaking to, teaching to a mostly saved crowd tonight. Now, I want you to comprehend this. Isn't it fascinating how sin makes us scared that someone else is going to find out? Now, listen. Scared to death that someone else that maybe is even in this room is going to find out about the sin of my life. And yet the Holy Ghost lives inside of us and already knows. You see, religion bases its foundation on the fear of man. Now look, this is not going to be popular, but again, forget it, I'm just going to say it. Even at times, the circles that you and I have been in has built a foundation based on we're scared to live outside of someone else's standard or preference because of how they're going to think of me. And what it did for many decades is it built this foundation of, you know what, now I have to live up to everyone else's expectation for my life and everybody else's standard for my life and everybody else's preferences for my life because, guess what, I fear what they're going to think. But Christian, when you start building a foundation on the Holy Spirit already lives inside of us and that we don't have to impress anyone or live up to anyone else's standards or preferences, we just have to live by the very Word of God, I'm telling you, friend, that's when you and I will really start living, I'll put it this way, a happy life. It's freeing. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you start realizing, oh, Brother Josh, you don't have to live by me, and I don't have to live by you, and I don't have to be scared. Oh, is Josh going to know? Is he going to find out? I'm just so scared, and Josh doesn't have to worry about it. Well, he came in here, and we don't match. We don't have all the same time. We don't act the same. We don't raise our kids. Oh, fear. When we start realizing that you stand before the Lord for your family, and I stand before the Lord for my family, and we can be brothers in Christ and love each other and spread the gospel together and not be worried about what each other thinks, and I fear you and you fear me, and we just have a God in heaven that leads, guides, directs, protects, and convicts us. I'm just telling you, friend, that's when you break the chains of religion and really start living for God. It is freeing, friend. It's amazing. But you see, the Holy Spirit, when you and I start digging into it, we have to comprehend that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and I. The Holy Ghost in your body, if you are saved, He is in us through the indwelling one born of the Spirit. John chapter 3 and verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now watch this, John chapter 3 and verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Bible states that every Christian has the Holy Ghost living inside of them. And if a person does not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, then this, friend, that means that that person is not saved, period. You cannot be lost and have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, but ye are in the flesh, but in the spirit, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The Holy Ghost is not just an influence or a feeling in your life. He is a person, just as the Father and of the Son. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved by you and I. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. But Peter, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 3 said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That means this, that you and I must be careful to maintain a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because oftentimes what you're going to find, friend, someone seeking advice from you, is they're going to say this, I'm a new Christian, but I lost my salvation. Friend, automatically take them to the Word of God and explain to them they cannot lose their salvation. How many are thankful for that tonight? Amen. Do you know how many people would be saved if we could lose our salvation? Nobody. You say, well, I would. A little pride in there. You just lost your salvation. But the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And oftentimes a young Christian will mistake the feeling of a grieved Holy Spirit for having lost the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that when you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit seals us. Guess who has the power to break that seal? No one. Satan? Nope. All his demons? Mm-mm. No one has the power to get you unsaved, including, you ready for this? The sin that is in our life. Why? Because the sin was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when he reached out his arms and cried, it is finished, that means this, it is finished. The penalty for our sin, that justification that begins to take place in our life, listen, friend, it's done, it's washed. Therefore, the sin no longer has dominion over us. It doesn't have that power over us. And friend, it definitely will not send us to hell. Why? Because you and I are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let me say this, just a little side note, and then we got to move on. That doesn't mean that it gives us a great, a pass, thank you. It does not give us a pass to sin. You get that? See, many times today, the thought of today is, well, then, wow, I can sin all I want to. You're exactly right. You have a free will. But you don't get to choose your consequences for those sins. And there are, excuse me, college student, excuse me, young person, excuse me, adults, there are consequences to our sins. Should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. Understand that you and I have the Holy Spirit, but we're sealed. It doesn't matter. I know it's a little bit of Bible study, but it's okay. Here's a great question to ask someone who believes that they can lose their salvation. And in West Virginia, where I pastored, we had a lot of Free Will Baptists, Pastor Dan, I know you've dealt with them. And the Free Will Baptists believe very much in line with Baptist doctrine, but they believe that you can lose your salvation. And I remember asking a pastor in town, I said, Pastor, you really? Yes. And we went back and forth with scriptures. And finally, here's the question that got him. I said, how much sin does it take to lose your salvation? No one can answer that. Because sin oftentimes is based on our own reality of what's bad and what's good. And what's, well, thank goodness I'm not a drug addict. Thank goodness I don't sell drugs. Thank goodness I'm not involved in this. And I've never cheated here and I've never done this. It's based on what we feel like sin is. We're giving it the definition. Friend, no one can, when you're talking to someone who says, yep, you absolutely can you just lose your salvation. Here's the question I ask them. So how much sin does it take? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means this. If we put a target over here, everybody knows what a target is. If we put a mat, stick a target up here on the wall, and it's round, and then it's got a bullseye here, that means this. Here is our bullseye tonight, okay? This is God. This is what we're trying to get to. And if this, I would say, I don't know, probably 50 feet or so, or 100 feet, whatever. I can't tell right now, so don't mock me. But let's just say this is 100 feet, okay? 100 feet from here to here. And I have a bow and arrow that shoots. I mean, it doesn't matter how high I tell you, it shoots 75 feet. How many times do I have to shoot that bow until I finally hit the target 100 feet away? Well, you can. Almost there again. For all have sinned, watch this very carefully, and come short of the glory of God. You and I can't do it. But the God who sent his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sin makes it possible for you and I to reach him. And the moment that you and I get saved, friend, watch very carefully. Whew, sorry, Brother Brian. The moment that you and I, watch now, are saved, the Holy Spirit then indwells inside of us and we never lose it. We're bought with a price. We're his. We're adopted into his family. I almost jumped, but I can't do it because we got to keep going. Now watch very carefully. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. It lives in the saved. But watch this. The Holy Spirit, this is what is so important. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit has several jobs, different jobs. Well, the Holy Spirit is a creator. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Creator of earth, creator of man. Job chapter 33 and verse number 4. And the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He's also a new creature, creates a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not only is he a creator, but he's also a comforter. John chapter 14 and verse number 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, a comforter, that he may abide in you forever. John chapter 14 and verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In verse number 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Of John chapter 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That means this. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. You ever gone through a hard time before and you reached out to family and you called? Nobody's picking up? You text? Little read receipt didn't come on? You've got a Facebook messenger, send him a message. Nothing. We need that comfort. Oh, I need somebody. Well, I need somebody to be here for me. Understand, there is no better comfort in the world than the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that comforter will never leave us nor forsake us. That comforter, the Holy Spirit, is always there with us. but he's also a reprover. John chapter 16 and verse number 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because he believed not on me. Of righteousness because I go not to my Father. Don't tune out. Listen now. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is there to reprove, to convict you and I. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. John chapter 14 and verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit teaches us and will prompt us and will help us. Listen very carefully. This is not eerie. This is not weird. This is testimonies from this very auditorium. Have you ever been in a place before and you're talking to someone who has lost, or you're talking to someone who is struggling with something? It's really amazing, especially all the moms in this room. You multitask all the time. You've got kids running around. You're trying to get your errands run. You're trying to get everybody in the car, and somebody comes up and they begin to talk to you. Ever been in that where you've got a million things going on in your mind and they say this, I'm lost, or this, or I'm really struggling with? And isn't it amazing how at times you'll get this verse that just pops in your head? You ever been there? Isn't that weird? Nope, it's the Holy Spirit. You ever been there before? This is a true story. I've been there before where I've been speaking to someone, and it's really amazing that while I'm speaking to that person, this verse will come through, and I didn't even know I had that verse memorized, but there it just flowed. The lost world doesn't get that. But we as Christians do. Why? Because of what lives in here. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yes, is that comforter, but the Holy Spirit also is that teacher. He's also a sealer, as we saw just a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. He seals us. The Holy Spirit is an interceder. That means this. Likewise, now listen very carefully. I know I'm moving fast because, woo, we got to move. Listen now. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Watch now. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now watch very carefully. One of the most misused verses in the Word of God concerning the Holy Spirit is found right there. Groanings which cannot be. So therefore, there goes the lights. Getting a little eerie in here. Listen very carefully. I did not do that. That's not theatrical sake. We're not going contemporary. That's those guys up there. Now listen, the Holy Spirit, when he's working on us, now watch, the Holy Spirit is there as an interceder for us. That means this, you and I, aren't you glad that we have not always gotten what we have, well, asked the Lord for? Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Boy, this boy right here is. I'm glad. Now listen, it is like a child that walks into a field. Now listen, watch. Great illustration for this verse. It's like a child that walks into a field and begins to pick flowers for the mom. And the child goes over and picks some daisies and maybe some roses and some whatever, other flowers. You start naming them and picks flowers. But then all of a sudden that child looks and sees weeds and begins to pick the weeds as well. And no, they're pretty. They're green. You know, they're, what's the little yellow? That's dandelions, thank you. Begins to pick some dandelions. And begins to pick up. And they're going to give it to mom. There's all these flowers. There's also all these weeds in there. And the child walks up to dad and says, Dad, these are for mom. And hands the flowers and the weeds to dad. Dad then, without the child looking, takes that and begins to take out everything that's really not useful and not wanted. Takes out the weeds, takes out the dandelions, fluffs it up, makes it look pretty, and then gives it to mom. And when mom gets it, it's beautiful. And it's exactly what mom wants, flowers. What was the part of the dad? The interceder. You see, oftentimes we go to God and we don't know what we're asking. We're just asking. And we pray, and the Holy Spirit then intercedes on our part and takes our prayers and delivers them to God for us. And what the Holy Spirit does is works on the behalf of you and me who have the Holy Spirit living in our heart. Is the Holy Spirit important? Yes, very important. It's not groanings of it's just jibber jabber and oh, it's tongues. And no, understand, the Holy Spirit is there and works on our behalf. He is an interceder on the behalf of the Christian who has him living inside. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is an empower. Acts chapter 1 of verse number 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. There is power in knowing that God is always there with us. That means this. Listen very carefully. Watch. And I'm almost done. There's such a great last half to this message, but I'm afraid I'm gonna mess up what the Holy Spirit's already doing here and working on our behalf. So just watch for just a moment. Understand this. Cross Point Baptist Church, you as a family, we as individuals, very soon are going to have some big decisions to make. The world outside of here is not, I mean, surprise, but it's not getting more godly. It's not getting better. For those who say we're living in the millennial right now, the millennial period, we're not, friend. God has not come back. We're not there. Things look outside. Watch the news tonight and tell me, yeah, I'm telling you, God's here. Things are getting better. It's not. I don't fear that we're going to have to make big decisions, but we are. Dads, you're going to have to take a stand pretty soon. What we're called nowadays for taking a stand for marriage between man and woman, What the world is doing is they're trying to get us to a place, it's happening, to where they will eventually be able to say, if you preach from behind this pulpit that marriage is only for man and woman, the person who says it is not going to have a church anymore and probably will face jail time. Oh, it'll never happen. It's going to happen. We got big decisions. You've got big decisions to make for your kids coming up very, very soon. The government thinks they own our kids. They don't. God gave them to us. We got big decisions. Let's make it a little bit easier, a little bit lighter. Who's getting heavy? Let's make it a little bit lighter tonight. You and I are going to have a decision this next week when the person standing in front of us is just standing there in line at Walmart, whether we're going to tell them about God or not. We have a decision to make. What helps you and I is knowing that we're not alone in those decisions. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned to empower you and I. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why you and I can say, I can do all things through Christ, watch now, which strengtheneth me. The person who thinks they're a hero and they're Superman and they've reached their apex of Christianity, well, I'm just trying, I can take on the whole world. Friend, without God, probably not. But God is going to give us the power to make it. Amen. Hey, Christian, everyone in this room is empowered to stay in your marriage. You have the Holy Spirit to help you. Teenager, every one of you that are saved tonight has the Holy Spirit living inside of you that's going to help you not to rebel against your parents that love you. You have someone that's there and cheering for you and rooting for you and helping you and guiding you. That is the Holy Spirit in our life. Families, dads, moms, grandparents, when's the last time we as a family begin to ask that the Holy Spirit be evident in our families to empower us as individuals? No, I'm asking, when's the last time on a Sunday night we slipped out and met down here together and said, God, you're packing this place out. You're bringing visitors in. We're seeing souls saved. We're seeing individuals baptized. We're seeing teenagers get right with God. We're seeing college students with a desire to go to the mission field for mission trips. Who's doing that? God. Amen. And when's the last time we stepped out as a church and said, Lord, we want the key element of the Holy Spirit to always be evident in this place. Amen. I don't know when, but maybe it's been a while. Friend, I've been to churches before, and so have you, when there's a bad spirit in the place. One of the hardest things, preacher, is it not, is to step into a pulpit where there's a bad spirit. Is it not hard to preach? You sweat, you're trying to get through, trying to make it through. Nobody's listening. You just tell, man, God is far from that place. I'm telling you, walking into the auditorium, Cross Point Baptist Church, God is meeting with us. I don't know about you. I kind of want him to keep meeting with us. Because we're kind of having the time of our lives right now. Yeah, but the CDC, yeah, but CNN, yeah, but Fauci, yeah, but Biden, yeah, but God's in this place. Amen. Yeah, but you don't, let's come in here. Let's get on our faces, and let's just beg the Holy Spirit, just do it again. Lord, just be in our family. Just keep protecting us. Just keep guiding us. We got some people tonight that need some comforting. Wilma, Bob, they're not here in their place tonight. Maybe we ought to slip out and just pray for them tonight. And others who couldn't be here this evening because of health reasons. What would be wrong with, Lord, go comfort them this evening. Be with them. See, friend, we can't just come in. A key element is, look, there's a lot of elements. We love the singing. We love Miss Susan playing up here tonight. We love the men's quartet. We love what God's doing in this place. But I'm here to tell you, the very key element of why we are seeing what we're seeing is not because of us, but because of Him. Amen. I'm inviting us as families tonight to pray together. Maybe as individuals, teenagers, maybe it's just time to slip out and just say, Holy Spirit, I need you evident in my life this week. Dads, maybe we ought to slip out and just, Lord, God, Holy Spirit, I just need you evident in my life this week. Fill me, use me, protect me, guide me. Watch out, teach me. Oh, the key element.